Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
The WGN Radio Football Podcast.
It's a challenge to come in here and try and turn around.
Chance to score at the end of this first half. Williams underneath, and it is caught for a touchdown by Odunze. He cashes in to close the drive.
It was not the start we wanted from our ones on really offense, defense, or special teams. Second half was really a different story.
Bajan to throw. Freeman's there, and he holds on for the touchdown.
It's Bajan on fourth down and goal.
Wide open, Joel Wilson. Bajan, end zone. It is Walker. It is called. It is the Bears in front in the final seconds. John A. Walker.
For us to come away with the win there at the end was really remarkable.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
Go Bears!
Here's Kevin Powell.
Welcome into a fresh episode of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell, and joined once again on the pod, it is Herb Howard from the Bigs. Herb, football season is finally here. I feel like we've kind of been talking about the same thing over the past 2-3 weeks, but it's here. Bears-Vikings Monday night on the lakefront.
You know, KP, it seems like it's gotten here quick, and it also seems like it's been gone for a long time. Like, okay. In one way, it kind of seems like we were just at Coach Johnson's introductory press conference, and in another way, it's been like, and this has been a long journey, and you know, glad to finally get to kick off on Monday night and see what this thing actually looks like.
Yeah, a lot to get into. We'll talk about Caleb. We'll talk about the offensive line a little bit, but just to kind of wrap up camp, and anybody who's even sort of been following training camp and what it was, Herb, you were there. I was there for a handful of practices, including the practice they were live from start to finish, which was that was the most insane NFL practice I've ever seen. I mean, nobody hits like that in practice anymore, like really at any level. And it was basically like standing on the sideline during a live NFL game. They were full go the entire time. But it does point to the direction Johnson's trying to bring this team, which is some toughness and a different attitude. And that vibe, I've picked up on it all throughout camp and going into the regular season. It feels different. I know it's the honeymoon stage. Everybody's excited about Johnson year two for Caleb. But totally different energy around Bears camp this year compared to recent years up at Halas Hall.
Yeah, you know, every time there's a coaching change and a new regime comes in, they start to talk about culture and establishing an identity. And, you know, for the Bears, unfortunately, it oftentimes just ends up being lip service. But Coach Johnson really put some action behind the fact that he wants to be a tough team, a physical team, an aggressive team. You saw that throughout training camp. And I think that particular practice that you're referring to that everybody has heard about by now was very, very indicative of them wanting to become that team. And I think, you know, it creates a sense of competition. It creates a sense of pride. It creates a sense of unity amongst the guys. And the hope is that they can, you know, take that from the practice field and transfer it onto the game field. And if they're able to do that, it should give them at least a pretty good fighting chance to be the team that they want to be.
So going into this game Monday night, the Bears are home. They have a year two quarterback in Caleb Williams. They have Ben Johnson, the new head coach, unproven head coach, but he is proven as a play caller on the offensive side of things. And despite all of that, they are underdogs to the Minnesota Vikings, who had a big year last year with Sam Darnold. I know how people think highly of Kevin O'Connell, and rightfully so. What he was able to do with Darnold last year was impressive. I just feel like there's not enough respect for Caleb Williams, Herb. Am I wrong to say that? Maybe because the expectations are sky high, as they should be. Heisman winner. He was hyped through college, even back to high school. He's a number one pick. Caleb was pretty good in his rookie year. I don't know what people are expecting. He didn't have an offensive line, didn't have a real head coach, didn't have an offensive coordinator. And I just feel like there's not enough respect for Caleb Williams. I know he still has to prove it, but the Vikings are bringing in a quarterback who's never taken a snap in the NFL, and everybody's like, yeah, they're going to be fine. They're favored over the Bears. And I'm like, I don't really agree with that.
I mean, as we know, satisfaction is directly linked to expectations, and I think the expectations set upon Caleb Williams were so high that I don't know if they were realistic. I think you know, you talk about not having enough respect for Caleb. I don't think people have enough respect for the NFL and the process of growing into it and what that looks like, especially when you're starting from the bottom with a completely new coaching staff, new regime. Like, you're trying to do that all again. And, you know, people were talking like Caleb was walking into the best situation that any rookie quarterback ever walked into. And the reality is that wasn't the case. The offensive line was in flux. The offensive coordinator was new and highly in question, and rightfully so. That ends up falling apart and blowing up in everybody's face. And so, you know, now people are sitting here, you know, wondering aloud or to themselves, is Caleb the guy that they hoped he would be and could be? And that's not fair to him, but that's just the reality of it that come along with expectations of saying he's the next Patrick Mahomes, which I always thought was wild in the first place. Like, you know what I mean? Patrick Mahomes is a Mount Rushmore quarterback. He's only halfway through his career. And so to place those types of expectations on Caleb was unfair in the first place, albeit he welcomed them or he talked about not ducking the smoke and all those types of things. But now he gets an opportunity with a competent head coach, a competent play caller, with a guy who understands what it takes to build offenses, not only in this league, but specifically within this division. I think that should help him a lot. And I think as far as J.J. McCarthy, I think he just gets the benefit of the doubt because of what, you know, Coach O'Connor was able to do with Sam Darnold and kind of revive his career and got him off and shipped off to a good payday. And the assumption is that, you know, J.J. McCarthy is, you know, at least as talented, if not more, than Sam Darnold. He's had a year to learn the system. I know he has not been on the field, but, you know, there's a school of thought that says he's further along in his offense, his offensive system, than Caleb is. And I know there's something to be said for having played 17 games in the National Football League like Caleb has, while J.J. has not. There's also something to be said for continuity and staying within the same system. I think he had a great opportunity to stand next to his coach on the sideline, listen to all those play calls, and watch his team be very, very successful. And so, you know, once he gets used to the speed of the game, I'm talking about J.J. McCarthy, once he gets used to the speed of the game, I think he'll be able to play at a high level. And I think getting used to the speed of the game is something that could come quicker than digesting a totally new system, which is what Caleb is trying to do.
You know, you mentioned the narrative last offseason. Caleb's entering the best situation a rookie's ever entered. And I probably got caught up into it a little bit, but I remember kind of taking a step back and like, okay, maybe we're getting a little carried away here. And I pointed to a team in the division, which was the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, you could have argued McCarthy was going into a much better situation last year with a proven head coach, one of the best receivers in football in Jefferson. A lot of pieces were already on that Minnesota roster. McCarthy gets hurt, misses his rookie season, but we feel like we did kind of get carried away a little bit with that whole Caleb in best situation for a rookie. Yeah. When McCarthy, if he didn't get hurt, he was probably entering a better situation than Caleb.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. What do we learn in the spring about, you know, when we start talking about, oh, the book is going to come out and his true feelings about the Bears are going to come out? Well, what we found out was that he and Coach O'Connell had a pretty good infatuation with each other, and they were trying to get him positioned to be able to go play for him in Minnesota. So even Caleb knew there was a better situation for him to come into. And so, you know, it didn't you one pick, you go where you go. And now the Bears are, you know, trying to make sure they actually put him in a really good situation. And I think they feel good about where it's all landed and how it's worked out. I think Caleb feels that way as well. But coming into the draft process, he and his team also thought that Minnesota may have been a better landing spot. Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Bears are going to win Monday night?
Hey, KP, my gosh. I don't know, man. I still got a few days to kind of digest it and figure it out. But I'll say on Monday night, I don't know, KP. I don't know yet. I hate to duck your question, but it's so hard, right? I think the Bears defense can come out and play well enough to keep them in the game. And I think they should be able to trick J.J. McCarthy, who is making his first start, and maybe, you know, trick him into a couple of turnovers and that can get the Bears off to a good start. So I think the Bears have a chance. I think the Bears have, for the most part, played their divisional opponents pretty good, even in the few years when they haven't been winning against them. I think they've played them pretty well. So, you know, I think it'll be a good game. If you're asking if I'm going to pick the Bears, I don't think so, but I don't know. I might change my mind by Monday night.
Yeah, well, that's why I kind of just wanted to ask you flat out, because just about anybody you have a conversation with, whether it's media, reporters, or just, you know, your Bears fans, I think everybody's kind of in the middle right now, Herb, and maybe because things got the expectations got a little bit blown up going into last year, and it turned into a disaster, and coaches were fired, and there was a losing streak, and the disaster in Washington. I think a lot of people don't want to get burned.
Humility.
Yeah, like you don't want to get burned again. Yeah, exactly. So
you call that humility? Getting humbled is a decent thing sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes we all need to be humbled a little bit, and you know, remember the history. The recent history of this franchise, and then ask yourself, well, where do we get this almost cocky arrogance from? Where does this extreme optimism come from every right. single year? We're like, we're about to do this thing. It's like, well, when have we done this thing?
Right.
And, you know, I think last year, the expectations were through the roof, and then they come out, and they beat up on some bad teams, or they win against some bad teams, and they get out to a 4-2 record, and we're like, oh, my God, this thing could be what we hope it is, and then they get back from London and the schedule, and you start to play some better teams, and you don't win another game until the turn of the calendar. So, you know, I think that teaches you a little bit, and I think, you know, going into this thing with a little bit more cautious optimism is probably a better thing for Bears Nation.
All right, I'll ask for another prediction. This one a little less specific, but will the Bears finish with a winning record, which could be 9-8? Well, are you?
Yeah.
Are you predicting a winning record for the Bears this year?
I have. Yeah, I've got them at 9-8. That was my record prediction. You know, when the schedule first came out, and I haven't seen much to move me off of that in either way, one direction or the other. I think they've got a tough schedule, especially on the road. Kevin, you look at it. Mm-hmm. And you talk about going to Baltimore, going to Philly, going to Cincinnati. Already got the division games. You go back to Washington, you go to San Francisco. Like, the road schedule is, like, murderer's row. Like, they have to take care of business at home against, you know, the Cowboys, the Browns. You get the Saints coming in. These are must-win games for the Bears. Even when the team like the Steelers come in, you have to be able to take care of business at home if you're the Bears this year, if you're going to give yourself any chance at playing above 500 football, because I don't think they're going to be able to play above 500 football on the road.
Dallas is no gimme. They should have beat Philly in the season opener. So I don't know what – I know expectations were low for the Cowboys, but that Week 3 matchup, that's not going to be easy. I know they're at home, but Dallas looked pretty good in that season opener. But to go back to your point, the Bears' optimism just seems to return ahead of every season. It's like the super fan bit. You know, everybody just gets hyped up for the season. My brother predicts double-digit victories every single season. He calls me. He gives me the rundown through the schedule, Herb, and he somehow always ends up with double-digit victories. It's just part of Bear fandom. I don't know what it is, but it just people
it's
get
part of Chicago.
Right.
We do it with the weather.
Yeah.
Every year the winter comes around, and we're like, this is my last winter. I'm leaving.
Right.
And then the summer comes around, and you're like, the summer is so amazing here. Like, I could put up with another winter.
Right.
And we just talk ourselves into it, and we do the same thing when the schedule drops. We figure out every little reason why we can, you know, go to Philly and beat the Super Bowl champs, and why we can go to Baltimore and beat the Ravens. We can do this. If this happens, we just do it. It's fun, and it feels good. And then, you know, then you go out there.
Right. And then it's torture most of the time. let's talk about the offensive line. Braxton named the left tackle, which wasn't a surprise, and it never really felt, in my opinion, Herb, like a real competition. I think they really just wanted to push Braxton, and they did try to add some depth there. On paper, this offensive line looks much better now compared to this time last year. I don't know I still don't feel sold on the offensive line. Maybe just because it's one of those things I got to see it, you know, before we get carried away with how it looks on paper. You feel much better about it now, but do you think Braxton makes it the full season, injury aside, but Braxton remains starting left tackle the entire year?
I think barring injury, he should, if for no other reason than he's better than the other options that they have.
Yeah.
Especially if his health continues to prove and stabilize in that department. I actually spoke with him in the locker room on Friday, and he was telling me that just going through that entire process really kind of reminded him of his rookie year. He comes in as a fifth-round pick out of Southern Utah. Nobody's expecting much. This year was much the same for him. He's coming off very significant ankle injury. There's a new coaching staff. He's got to prove himself all over again. They spend a high round draft pick at that position. And, you know, nobody's expecting much from him or even feeling that confident about him. Yet, when it's all said and done, he comes out as a starting left tackle again. He's been there for 3 years. To me, the expectations should have been that he would win. But, you know, that kind of turned upside down, and you draft Ozzie and the Bears hype kicks in. And next thing you know, nobody's believing in Braxton Jones, but he gets out there. You know, he's not fully healthy back 100% yet, but he gets out there and, you know, by default or whatever, he wins the starting left tackle job. And I think that unless something vastly changes for Ozzie Tripillo or Karan Amagaji or Theo Benedet, he's going to remain the best option that they have, especially, like I said, if he continues to get healthy and settle things down. So, you know, I think the Bears knew they needed to flip their offensive line coming into this offseason. They flipped the entire interior. They still feel good about Darnell Wright. And you got to be optimistic, you know, about what Braxton Jones can do in terms of being a serviceable left tackle. You got to lean on his experience, his athleticism, and hope that he can, you know, play winning football for you on Caleb's blind side.
Nobody works the Halas Hall locker room like Herb Howard. I'll just say that. Herb, you are a master at that, working everyone. And in seriousness, credit to Braxton, class act. He handled this great. I mean, this guy has been the established left tackle, and the Bears were straight up like, yeah, we're not naming you the starting left tackle. You basically have to go earn this once again. And he spoke to a pool of reporters and everything. I listened to him like, okay, that's what you want to hear out of your left tackle. So credit to Braxton for handling it well. Can I hit you with a few like quick hit questions here for the upcoming season?
Yeah, no doubt.
Caleb, over or under 4,000 yards?
I don't care.
Don't care, right? Doesn't tell the whole story.
It doesn't matter, KP. You know that's how I feel about it. And so, you know, I get it. It's the landmark. The Bears have never hit it. That's fine. So I'm not ducking your question. My real answer is I don't care. It doesn't matter. He can go. He can throw for 3,500. He can throw for 4,500. Jalen Hurts threw for 2,900 and won the Super Bowl. So, like, it doesn't matter as much as people think it matters. Build a winning football team. That's what I love about Coach Johnson. Several times he spoke about doing what's necessary to win this week. If we got to run it 50 times, we'll do that. If we got to throw it 50 times, we'll do that. Just win the games. I'm not infatuated with any of those numbers. It doesn't fascinate me at all. So I don't mean to duck your first
rapid-fire
win, but I don't care.
Biggest strength of the Chicago Bears this season will be what? Biggest strength. What will they excel at?
I'm going to go running game. I'm going to say the running game will excel. I think they've improved the interior of that offensive line. I think bringing in Coach Bieniemy is going to get the very best out of the running backs. And I think they have physical receivers that are on the outside that are willing to block. And Coach Johnson is going to demand that they do so. So I'm going to say that their Bears' running game should be vastly improved and something they can lean on.
Biggest weakness of the Chicago Bears, or maybe your biggest concern going into the season?
Youth and experience in key spots. You're talking about learning the new system. And you know, second-year quarterback with another offense to learn, another coordinator to work with. So I would say that's what gives me the most concern. Just they're doing something completely new, and there's so many unknowns when you're doing something for the first time.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, going back to record prediction, I think everyone just wants to see it, right? And you made the great point. Like, just go out and win football games, right? Forget about numbers, whatever it might be. Maybe they go 8-9 this year, 9-8, as long as there's some serious growth there with Caleb and Ben Johnson. And look, and Johnson said, you know, there's no reason we can't win this year. And maybe everything goes well, Herb. Maybe they get to 10 wins. Maybe they get to 11. That seems like a stretch.
Yeah.
But if things do really go well and Caleb makes like this big, significant second-year jump in this new offense with Ben Johnson, it's not out of the question. And I know we're going back to our original point of kind of getting carried away going into the season, but I think 9-8, 8-9 is where most people are at. But every football season is different, and that's not completely out of the question, Herb. I really don't think so. I mean, an improved offensive line, Caleb does have weapons to work with. He has Cole and Colston to work with. If they stay healthy, things go well, a couple bounces go their way, which they did not last year, and they were stuck in, in a losing streak. I mean, think of how bad they – think of how many things went wrong last year, Herm.
Exactly.
And they won five games. They could have won easily, what, four more of those games? You think about the blocked field goal against Green Bay, the Washington disaster. They lost in to Minnesota. Was that an overtime game? The Lions game when Flustin So I'm just saying, like, if things do go really well, like, this could be a fun season.
No, it's not out of the realm of possibility at all. We know that the margin for victory in the NFL is very, very thin. And so, you know, one play here or there could absolutely flip, you know, several games. We saw every snap from the Bears last year. They lost. They invented ways to lose games. So, you know, like, it wouldn't be – it's not a stretch to say that you can flip four or five of those defeats last year and turn them into victories, and now you're talking about a 10-win football team. So, no, that's not out of the realm of possibility at all. If you believe that Coach Johnson is the more competent, if you believe that Caleb Williams is a year further along in his development – then that's not hard to believe at all. So I could certainly see that. I just look at the schedule and say that's a gauntlet to kind of go through, and we'll find out a little bit early, right? They get Minnesota coming to their house on Monday night, and then they pack up and go to Detroit the very next week. So we'll find out early if they, you know, are punching out of their weight class or not. But I think they'll be competitive. I think they'll be in those games. It's just when those five or six key plays that happen throughout every game that determines wins and losses – will the Bears come out on the winning side of those particular plays? And you never know when they're going to be. It could be the first play of the game. It could be the last play of the game. Are you going to be prepared for four quarters and focused and locked in so that when those five or six key plays come up that make the difference between winning and losing, you can make sure that ball bounces your way?
And an early bye this year. Week five is the bye week. And after that, Herb, you know Caleb's going to be jacked up to go back home at Washington Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
You know he'll have that one circled, especially the way things ended last year. But I'm happy football is back finally. We can start talking about games. We can start talking about real things with the 2025 Chicago Bears. It's Herb Howard once again joining me on the WGN Radio Football Podcast. Herb, thanks a bunch. Appreciate it as always.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, KP.
Thanks again to Herb Howard for joining me. Thanks to Ernie Skatton for his help producing the podcast. Football is back. Bears-Vikings Monday night. I'll have a recap episode following the game on Tuesday. Thanks again for listening. I'm Kevin Powell. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.